Have you ever been afraid to ask a question? Maybe you were in class and school and didn't understand something, but still didn't ask about it. Maybe you were in a restaurant and saw something that you weren't sure of, but just looked at something else instead, rather than asking for an explanation from the server. Maybe you've participated in a book group or a Bible study, and after someone's description or words, didn't ask for clarification, even if you weren't quite sure what they meant. I think about my students who line up after a meeting or after class to ask questions because they didn't feel comfortable asking in front of the whole group. And then I think about all of those students who may have had questions and weren't even comfortable coming up individually or sending an email. If we're not sure about something, why don't we ask? For many, I think it's the fear of feeling or looking foolish or stupid or confused. I don't know why the disciples were afraid to ask Jesus what he meant when he talked about how his human life would end and that he would rise again. Did they remember the verbal lashing that Peter received in the lesson we heard last week? Was it just all too much for them to even know where to start asking questions? Did they not want to look foolish or stupid or confused in front of the other disciples or in front of Jesus? We don't really know why they were afraid to ask, only that they were afraid to ask. And even as we read this thousands of years later, we see that Jesus never actually explains what he meant, even though he knows very good and well that they didn't understand. But instead, he moves on to teach them about discipleship. So those who were able to join us for worship last week or maybe listen to a sermon my sermon online might recognize this pattern. First, Jesus describes his betrayal, his death, his resurrection. Then the disciples don't understand what he's talking about. And finally, he corrects the disciples by teaching them about what it means to follow him. And this isn't the last time that we're going to see this pattern. This pattern happens multiple times as Mark is showing us how important these concepts are and how difficult they are to understand. The reality is that part of this reason these concepts are so difficult is because Jesus is turning all expectations and priorities upside down. In an interesting way, Mark really brings this home in that throughout the entire Gospel of Mark, the disciples are fear, they flee, and the character of having faith is actually never attributed to them. Think about it, right? Those who are following Jesus throughout the lands, healing with them, sharing his ministry, are often being called out for not having faith or not having enough faith. Instead, those who have been lifted up as having faith are people like the unnamed woman who Jesus was trying to turn away when she requested an exorcism for her daughter. And the woman with the excessive bleeding who just touched his garment as he was walking through a crowd. And the friends of the paralyzed man who dropped him through the ceiling to see Jesus because they couldn't get him through the crowds. And this is just a few of the unnamed people who Jesus proclaimed as having faith strong enough to heal themselves or others. None of them were disciples. So we see both the turning on its head of the status of who we would expect to be the most faithful and the paradigm shift of who we would expect to have the greatest social status. Anywhere we look, we see that those who are strong, those who have money, those who have powerful positions, those who win at sports, etc., they are esteemed as being considered significant and important. Anyone spending much time on social media or listening to advertisements or watching any variety of entertainment gets the strong message that looking a certain way, having a large disposable income, being a position of power, or being a winner is on top. And of course, that is what we should all aspire to be according to this world. And this is not new to today. Well, social media and advertisements are new to today, fairly new to today. But the idea of social status and its importance existed thousands of years ago. And it looks pretty similar to what we experience now. Also, like today, if you were privileged enough to be able to hang out with certain people of high status, some of their status could rub off on you. So even 2,000 years ago, there was this process of trying to move up by making friends with someone a little higher in the social status hierarchy. But do you know who didn't have any status 2,000 years ago? Children. In fact, the term that Mark uses when he describes the child that Jesus brings into the midst of the disciples can be interpreted as both little child and servant or slave. Hanging out with children or servants would do nothing to increase your social standing and level of importance in society. Realistically, it would probably do the opposite. But Jesus is putting it out there. Following him is not about attaining the top of the human ideal of status. It's easy to say, oh, how nice it is and parental of Jesus to pick up that child and bring it to the disciples and bestow some status upon children. But the move wasn't meant to be parental or nice. Jesus' intent was to be subversive and shocking. Just before this, the disciples were arguing amongst themselves who was the greatest. Maybe they were discussing who had the highest social standing. Regardless, I am sure that none of them were counting up the hours that they spent with children and servants to decide who was the best among them. Jesus is explaining once again that the godly definition of status does not coincide with the earthly definition. Jesus is also explaining that any of us who follow Christ must seriously consider whom we welcome or don't welcome. Who do we see as being worthy of our time and attention and sacrifice? And who do we think is beneath us? Establishing hierarchies and classifications is something our brains do automatically. Consciously questioning those hierarchies and classifications is what Jesus is calling us to do. And this is tough. James understood how incredibly difficult it would be to live out the gospel and be a follower of Christ in this world. He had seen firsthand how the way in which humans organize the world disenfranchises and harms those who have the least. James understood how easy it is to focus on trying to get ahead and allowing that to lead to envy and selfish ambition and away from following Christ. The disciples were arguing about who was most ahead. Who was the greatest? We see that even those closest to Jesus fell into using popular measurements of status rather than godly ones. Yesterday, as I was sitting at the Arlington Street Fair with Nancy and Beth, I caught myself reflecting on who was actually stopping and asking questions, as well as who it was that was taking our information cards. When they looked at our pride flags and saw a woman in a clerical collar, although a woman in a clerical collar isn't that out of bounds anymore, what message did they take? If they were really interested in coming to a service, what would they be looking for? Would they find it in this place? Were they looking for a community that would walk with them in their faith, or were they looking for something else? I think some were just being polite, but there were clearly others who were looking for something. What are we all looking for when we come into this space? When we do the variety of ministries that we do as part of this church, or even ministries that we do that are not part of this church? How are we going to bring together what it is we are each looking for with what it is that God is asking us to do? So, I will ask again the question that I asked last week. What does it mean to follow Christ? We've spent a couple of weeks, and we'll spend a few more, with Mark's description of Jesus' teaching on this front. Following Christ is not easy in this world. Understanding that we have a God who allowed himself to be crucified and killed by humans is not an easy concept to grasp when everything else would tell us to avoid things like torture and death. Recognizing that those in the world would say, have no standing, have the highest standing in God's eyes. That is counterintuitive. None of this is easy, and some of this may make us uncomfortable. But we learned last week that following Christ is not always about being comfortable. So why do we try to do it? I try. And I say try because I know I fall short of it every day. I try because there is a deep feeling in my soul that I know that there is more beyond this world that I am a part of right now. And the God who is part of that beyond is calling us all to make this world a better place so that everyone may get a glimpse of the beyond here and now. And want to be followers of Christ with us. Amen.